Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Thank you for joining us on this hot, hot Sunday. I hope that we all stay hydrated. I'm going to be shortening some things up. So that we can get out of here a little faster. I had been a little bit long-winded on my sermon prep, and I'm going to shorten it on the fly. And I've already instructed Becky that we're taking one of the readings out. We're going to take Mark out. Poor Mark. Becky will read our Old Testament reading, and then I invite you to study Mark on your own. I want to say thank you to Becky and the entire VBS team for just an incredible VBS on Friday. I'm not going to steal Becky's thunder. She's got an announcement. She'll say a little bit more.
Good morning. Vacation Bible School couldn't have happened any better. My heart was full. We had so many volunteers and so many kids. Because it happened, just happened on Friday, we're still working on photo dumping and we're going to create, hopefully Alana will help me, we're going to create a nice PowerPoint with tons of pictures from VBS and all the names of all the volunteers, because there are some that were missing from those slides. There were people that just popped in during the mission project. We left the mission project lay back there. There's 200 bags. The missions purchased the bags, our mission committee. Emmanuel Lutheran donated almost $1,200 in supplies. They donated their Lenten offerings. And all three churches, the United Methodist Church, Emmanuel Lutheran, and ourselves, all contributed. And those 100 sets of bags back there, there's 200 bags, there's 100 sets. That's for each of the families that the food pantry helps. In addition, there's off to the right of all the bags in the back is a pile of big stuff that we kept out of the bags, from bath towels to paper toweling to toilet paper to big detergent bottles that we couldn't fit in the bags, and it's all getting picked up by the food pantry on Tuesday. So just a warm, warm welcome and thank you to all of you and all your contributions and your support, whether you prayers, finance, brought products in. Thank you. It was just wonderful. And bonus, and today you might want one, we have freeze pops left over from Friday. So we will have those on the kitchen counter. So thank you.
Thank you. My fiance, Serafina, who some of you know as Rafi, that's her nickname, she and I were talking, she helped out with VBS, and she and I were talking afterwards, and she said, you know, I have to commend Becky, because her leadership was absolutely fabulous, and all of the volunteers were very good at carrying out Becky's vision, and everybody said, "What do you want me to do, Becky?" And Becky is far too humble to include herself in that list. But I just want to, can we just recognize Becky and all of the, yeah. And then the only other announcement that I have is that we're singing a new song at the end of worship today. We do have, I think, 15 copies of the melody line in sheet music. In the back, if you are interested in following along with that, of course the words will be up on the screen. But if there are no other announcements, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Morning. Peace be with you.
Please stand, excuse me. Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Here in this space, we wear our hearts on our sleeves. There is no use in filters or walls. This space is an authentic space. This space is a brave space. For when it comes to God, we are always invited to bring our full selves into the room. So come into this space with your hurt and your joy, your prayers and your dreams. All of God's children are welcome here. Let us worship Holy God. Please join me in the opening prayer. Holy God, I know that you hear our prayers. You are the God of hospital rooms and graveside services. You are the God who felt a touch in a crowd. You are the God who sees and knows all pain, infertility and illness, despair and death. You are the God of the hurt and the healing. So I know you must hear us today. So with open hearts and open palms, gracious God, we come to you with our joy and our pain. Holy God, we know that you are listening. We know that you are here. Be among us. Hold our hurt. Heal our wounds. Draw us closer to one another and closer to you. Please join us in the opening hymn, number 476, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Thank you.
may be seated.
Hey, we have some kids with us. Taylor, do you want to come up by me? Taylor, you want to come up? You want to slide that to the side?
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, bud. How are you? Good. Come on over here. Let's have a seat. All right. We're going to talk about a little bit about what the kids did on in Vacation Bible School on Friday. They went with God on a journey, and they took we called it road trip. And they took a road trip to, Manhattan Music Hall of Fame. Where was science? I can't remember. I'm doing this without notes.
Chicago was one of them, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Craft, yeah.
Yep. So anyway, they went to Crafts and the Grand Canyon, or the gymnasium. They went all over.
Yeah.
Went to the Mustard Seed Cafe. And they took God on their journey.
Thank you.
And they learned that God is with them wherever they go. God is with them near and far. God is even with them when they're lonely.
Kathy, can you use the microphone because we can't hear you?
That's not working?
All right.
Sure. Is this better?
Oh,
okay. Oh, thanks. Yeah, God is with us on our journey. He's with us near and far. God is with us when we're lonely. God is with us when we go off course. Sometimes we go off course. Do you ever go off course? You ever get lost?
No, never.
Taylor never gets lost. No? That's good. That means you know how to read a map, don't you? You're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
GPS'd it, right? That's the way we do things today. God is with us when we're joyful. So God is with us wherever we go. God is with us wherever we go. Pastor Jacob, could you lead us in prayer this morning?
Indeed. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for Vacation Bible School and all of the ways that we've shared your love that we shared your love with the children this week. Help us remember that you are with us no matter where we go, no matter what we do, and help us share your love no matter where we go. Amen.
Our first reading and only reading today. Oh, and I apologize in advance to all of those of you who have studied theology and know that I'm pronouncing things wrong. And the rest of you, just pretend I'm right. Okay. Our first reading this morning is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Paniah. Paniah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year after year from this town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were priests of the Lord. On the day of Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife, Paniah, and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time. Then Eli answered, go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your sight. Then the woman went her way and ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Becky. And now we're going to watch as Alana skips through the gospel text really quickly. I'll start the sermon, and I'm sorry. I probably should have said that I'm gonna show the media clip in a little bit. So let's pray. God be in our heads and in our thinking. God be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So every year around Christmas time, since I've been here, this church has offered what we call a Blue Christmas service. This wasn't a familiar concept to folks before I started, and most people hadn't experienced a service like this, but basically a Blue Christmas service is an opportunity for those for whom this time of year is not the most wonderful time of the year for several different reasons to come together and not be told to be joyful, not be told that we should be excited because Jesus is coming and everything. This is a time where we can grieve. This is a time where we can be sad. This is a time where we can just be together in community as we remember all of the different ways that life is difficult at times. Now, due to the somber nature of this service, it isn't necessarily for everyone. It's by far our most sparsely attended service of the year, but you know, if we were totally focused on worship numbers, we probably wouldn't be offering that service. But every year, I feel like it's important to offer because it fills a really important pastoral need to remember that it's important to share with each other in community and understand that all sorts of people deal with all sorts of difficult situations. And I bring this up because today's question in our sermon series that A Sanctified Art put together is, where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? In our Old Testament reading, Hannah is in deep distress because she doesn't have a son. And it's not just because she doesn't have a son, but it's bad enough that she can't have a child that her heart desires, but to make matters worse, she is being bullied by her husband's other wife repeatedly and chastised for not having a son. And the commentator Erica Chandrika Dunbar reminds us that Hannah lives in a male-dominated society where her well-being depends on being married and having a male child, which she does not have, and because of this bullying, Hannah weeps constantly and refuses to eat. And this isn't necessarily far off from what today many women experience when they are not able to conceive their own children. Though society thankfully looks different now in lots of ways than it did back in biblical times, the inability to have our own biological children is something that many women and many couples are still belittled for in this day and age. And even if we haven't experienced the painful reality of infertility, it's probable that pretty much everybody knows at least one woman or one couple who has dealt with that. And it seems that it's pastorally important if you're sitting here and you're like, yeah, that's me. It seems pastorally important for me to say, you know, you are not alone, and you are in good company with many people in the Bible, Hannah and Sarai and all sorts of others. And it also seems important on the other hand, for those of us who have had the blessing of having our own biological children, it's important for us to remember to be tender and loving and caring and aware that people in our communities struggle with this, and that we should continue to offer help in ways that we can. But what I want to zoom in on today is not necessarily how Hannah gets what she wants at the end of the story, because not everybody gets what they want, but instead, what I want to talk about is how offering our vulnerability in community can help us know each other better and help us offer deeper care and connection to each other when we need it the most. We see in the Old Testament story that Hannah weeps day in and day out because this desire of her heart has not been satisfied. And a messenger of God, a priest, is able to offer her some comfort. So often it seems that we ourselves don't always know what to say when we need to comfort each other, especially when it comes to something as sensitive as infertility. We don't know what to say, or we feel like our words aren't enough, or we feel like we have the potential to offer hurt instead of hope. But But it's so important to be there for one another and to recognize that we ourselves have had all sorts of experiences with social othering and unkindness. I'm editing as I go here. So when we think about the question that a sanctified art poses to us today, where does it hurt? And when we think about what we can learn from folks like Hannah sharing her story and her pain, sometimes it might feel like too much to bear. There's so much pain and so much difficulty in the world that we don't always know what to do with it. And the clip that we're about to watch from the very popular film A Green Mile sort of deals with that sentiment. Let's watch.
Hello, boss.
Hello, John. I guess you know we're coming down to it now. Another couple of days. Is there anything special you want to eat for dinner that night? Can rustle you up most anything. Say a little prayer with.
Don't want no preacher. You can say prayer if you like.
Me? Suppose I could if it came to that. John, I have to ask you something very important now.
I know what you're gonna say. You don't have to say it.
No, I do. I do have to say it. John, tell me what you want me to do. You want me to take you out of here? Just let you run away? See how far you could get?
Why would you do such a foolish thing?
On the day of my judgment, when I stand before God, and he asks me, why did I kill one of his true miracles? What am I going to say? That it was my job. It was my job.
You tell God the Father it was a kindness you done. I know you're hurting in word. I can feel it on you, but you ought to quit on it now. I want it to be over and done with. I do. I'm tired, boss. Tired of being on the road, lonely as a sparrow in the rain. I'm tired of never having me a buddy to be with, to tell me where we's going to, coming from, or why. Mostly I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. I'm tired of all the pain I feel and hear in the world every day. There's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head all the time. Can you understand?
Yes, John, I think I can.
The ability to understand each other by what we have experienced in our lives allows us to know one another with deeper compassion and greater humanity. That transition happened with Eli. He was initially judgmental of Hannah. And that transition enabled him to help Hannah pray to God for what she desired. And in our Blue Christmas service, we have the opportunity to pray and weep together in community, holding each other in love as we experience grief and other difficult emotions that the holiday season can bring. And in our clip that we just watched, the transition of remembering the pain and the difficulty that one man experiences as he is about to face his punishment. Because, my friends, the rain falls on all of us. We all know what it feels like to feel pain in some way. We all have skeletons in our closets that we wish others didn't know about. We've felt shame at various times in our lives, and I can guarantee that none of us would want to be treated like Hannah or other folks that have been othered and ostracized. And yet, sometimes we broadcast our shame onto others as if somehow being unkind to someone else will make us feel bigger. But of course, we know that never works. That's not how community grows. That's not how Christ teaches us to live. And yet I know that I've done my fair share of just that. I've done my fair share of judging others before I know the whole story. So as we seek to know each other better in this community of faith, as we seek to understand better the difficult times that people have been through and how we can share Christ-like compassion, may we approach each other with tenderness and love rather than with judgment or social expectations. This week I invite you to look inward a little bit, thinking of ways that you can offer care and compassion to those who are hurting rather than upholding those same tired social expectations of how we live, how we reproduce, how we are in community together. Understanding more deeply where people are hurting and how we can help them can offer us a window into the soul of a friend and can give us the ability to offer the compassion that Christ himself will offer. And in just a moment, we're going to read an affirmation of faith, one which I think gives us a glimpse of what that might look like, to hold each other up and to remember how God has held us in our own grief. May we go through this week together, recognizing the ways that we can support each other through pain. As we told our children in Vacation Bible School this week, God is with us wherever we go. God is with us when times are joyful. God is with us when times are hard. God is with us when the journey doesn't quite go how we expect it to. God is with us when we feel shame or grief or pain. And we all know what it means to be Christ to each other in times of struggle. You know, in so many ways, this church does it so well. We experience lots of hope in caring for others in times of struggle. We experience lots of hope in the fact that our missions committee and our kids and our VBS volunteers helped provide hope and practical support to people in our community who don't have what they need, don't have the resources that some of us come by so easily. And for all of that, for all of the ways that we provide comfort and care to one another when times are hard, I say thanks be to God. Amen. So let's join together in this affirmation of faith. On my best days, I believe that God is there, standing in the sun with me, and cheering me on. On my hardest days, I believe that God is there, standing in the rain with me, holding me up and sharing in my grief. No matter where I go, in joy or in loss, in pain or in love, or in gratitude, I believe that God is there, leaning in, noticing where it hurts, and carrying me through it. And so, I believe that we are called to care for each other as God cares for us. On your best days in the sun, and on your worst days in the rain, I will do my best to be there for you too. Amen. And in that spirit, being there with one another, let's take a moment for more intentional prayer, thinking of the folks and situations that need our prayers and need our love today. We'll take a few moments of silence, and then we'll offer some prayer requests. Amen. So one prayer request that I have is a prayer request I've been excited to make for a long time. Dennis and Jane Velema are great grandparents for the very first time. And Luke and Jaden, who are friends of the church and looking to become members, had their first child, Ava Jaden, Ada, Ada Jaden, entered into the world this week, and all are doing well. So, congratulations to all of you. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for new life sprouting forth, and for the beauty that comes with that, God, in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today? Yeah, Sandra in the back.
I would like to ask for prayers for my older sister Sally Jo. She's facing some quite serious health issues. Mm. And we're still in the diagnostic finding out phase for treatments, etc. So,
okay. For Sally Jo and all of the ways that she needs answers and for her medical team. God, in your mercy. Anything else? Okay. Oh, did I miss one? Anything on Zoom? Then let us be in a time of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you're with us, no matter what happens. We know that you know where it hurts. We know that you know where there is joy. We give you thanks that you are with us in all of these things. For new life, for life that is ending, for hope, and for uncertainty, for an uncertain medical future, and for answered prayers, for not having enough, and for finally having enough. We give you thanks that you are with us in all of these moments, and we ask you to help us be empowered to be with others who are facing struggles, struggles because of food insecurity, poverty, discrimination, homelessness, war, conflict, abuse, and all of the ways that life is more difficult. For all this, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who led us on the way, was our constant comforter and guide, and who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. If you'd like to make a gift today, you may do so either by placing your offering in the offering plate or by giving online at uccwaupun.net. Dedication. God, who is our hope and strength, we offer these gifts with confidence, knowing that you will use them to offer glimmers of light to a hurting world. Help us continue to do what is ours, to offer hope and healing in our particular ways. Amen. Our closing song is called We Will Rejoice in Love. Sue and I will show you the first verse so that you can hear how it goes. And then we'll have an opportunity to sing the first verse together following that. And then we'll sing the second verse. Oh, sure. We're going to be singing this song again over the next few weeks because I feel like it really does a nice job of framing the whole rest of the sermon series. So you'll have more chances, which is great. And Alana will have the lyrics up. Good. Friends, receive these words of benediction. Family of faith, as you leave this place, may God grant you the curiosity to counter assumptions, the vulnerability to befriend, the bravery to speak your truth, the wisdom to listen, the strength to ask for help, the resiliency to choose love even when it's hard, and the awareness of the Holy Spirit always beside you. In the name of the great connector, love itself, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.